Is a backlash building in Congress against Comcast's acquisition of Time Warner Cable? Plus, Google wants to be the new Priceline, and CNN is launching a 15-second TV show just for Twitter. All that and more coming up next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, April 9th, 2014. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free two-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Mike Elgin.
And I'm Jason Howell.
Tech News Today explores the big stories of the day in conversation with some of the world's best journalists. Our guest co-anchor this week is Natalie Morris, a contributor to NBC and co-founder of ReadQuick, a speed reading app for iOS. She is going to be joining us a little bit later in the broadcast, I hope. We expect her on in about 10 minutes or so. So let's just jump right into the news. A backlash is growing in Congress against Comcast's proposed $45 billion acquisition of Time Warner Cable, according to the Washington Post writer Brian Fung. And the backlash is now bipartisan, which is kind of fascinating. Originally, the backlash or the opposition to this merger was among liberals and Democrats, and now Republicans and conservatives are jumping in. Groups include the American Family Association, the Tea Party Nation, and the U.S. Business and Industry Council. They're all worried about the industry consolidation. There's also some other politics afoot. For example, the Obama administration has close ties with Comcast executives Brian Roberts and David Cohen, and so this is seen by some conservatives in Congress as a way to stick it to the president. So this is an interesting development, and it all hinges on the hearing that's taking place right now, as well as additional hearings within Congress. Right now, as we speak, Comcast is making their case to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and that is going on, and you can watch that later on C-SPAN. So Comcast's merger with Time Warner Cable will depend entirely on how persuasive their case is to the Department of Justice and the Federal Communications Commission, not just the Senate. The Verge's Addie Robinson took a close look at the company's prospects this morning on The Verge. Welcome, Addie.
Hi.
Now, can you summarize why Comcast believes it's okay for the biggest TV cable company to buy the second biggest?
Okay, so there are more or less two things that it's trying to bring to the table with the FCC. The first one is that it's arguing they're not actually competitors. Since Comcast and Time Warner Cable don't actually operate in exactly the same markets, you're never technically going to be picking between one or the other. So their argument is that, okay, look, there are a bunch of other companies. There might not really be cable companies, or broadband internet companies, but you have wireless broadband, you have DSL, you have companies offering streaming video. Those are all their competitors, not just these fairly small, honestly, wired broadband companies. And then their other argument is just that this is going to provide benefits for consumers. It's going to give them economies of scale. They can improve Time Warner Cable internet. And they're also, currently Comcast is the only company following the net neutrality rules that were overturned earlier this year, because of an agreement back in 2011, I think. And so they would actually expand that to Time Warner Cable as well.
Interesting. And I also understand, just to, I guess, re-summarize what you're saying, they're trying to blur the lines between different aspects of their business, the provision of internet connectivity, the cable TV business, and so on. And they're basically saying that all these companies like Apple and Google and even Facebook are direct competitors, whereas Time Warner Cable isn't really a competitor. And you called this case shaky in your article. Now, this sounds kind of shaky to me. I tend to agree with you. But don't you think this will be persuasive with the government? I mean, don't they have to look at this in terms of the arguments being presented and not worry about anything for the consumers other than pricing? I mean, I don't think there's a huge chorus of opposition saying that this is going to raise prices, is there?
It's not. I don't think anyone has really said whether it will raise or lower prices. The thing that they're looking at isn't, I don't think, just pricing. It's also market power. Because the real issue is just that this would give Comcast tremendous leverage. So in the hearing today, people were talking about worries that it would be harder for people to get channels on. It would be easier for Comcast to set prices, to set disadvantageous deals for something like the Netflix peering agreement that they just struck a deal for. So the argument is really just that it puts them in a position of power that no company should have. They would, they're estimated to control maybe 50% roughly of the wired broadband market if this goes through.
Yeah, exactly. And but the case in the case of this type of business, it doesn't matter if they're that they are sort of like dominant nationwide. Doesn't it only matter whether or not they have a monopoly or don't have a monopoly in individual markets? I mean, if they don't have a monopoly in one city, does it really matter that they do have one in another?
I mean, that's obviously up for the FCC and the Department of Justice to decide, but some similar cases, I think a similar case was made in the case of the AT&T and T-Mobile merger, and that was ultimately blocked.
Now, the Consumer Federation of America says Comcast, Time Warner together would dominate 19 of the top 20 media markets, have about a third of all multi-channel video subscribers, and control about, as you said, about half the high-speed internet access in the country. It's a kind of bizarre, isn't it, that they say that their competition will come from Apple, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, and companies like that, when all of those services have to be provided through the internet connectivity, which Comcast will control half of. It's kind of a weird argument, don't you think?
It is weird, and it's sort of the product of the fact that Comcast just owns a tremendous amount of stuff. I mean, they're obviously, they merged with NBC Universal, so they're also providing content. They provide video services, which, yes, Netflix is definitely competing in some ways with, say, a video on demand service, but it's also directly dependent on another part of Comcast service.
Right. So, I mean, I think there are a lot of people who are hoping that we're going to get to the point very quickly where television is delivered over the internet, streaming television, you know, even sort of TiVo-like saving of content would happen in the cloud and then be downloaded, and we're headed for this nirvana where you can watch anything you want, anytime you want. And Comcast's acquisition of Time Warner Cable appears to be such a powerful move for that company that they may be in a position to prevent that from happening anytime soon or even ever. That's kind of a threat to the vision of just about the rest of the industry, Apple, Amazon even, which are trying to provide television and cable-like features through the cloud and get to this point where you can watch anything you want whenever you want. So do you see this move as something that essentially puts that vision in jeopardy?
It's hard to say because I'm hesitant to ascribe any kind of explicitly nefarious intent to a company like Comcast or Time Warner Cable. I think the real problem is that they would be in a position where they could, or a position where if they wanted to do something, it would be very hard, short of, like, there are sort of business reasons that they would not, but they're also in a position where it would be hard for people to explicitly oppose them.
All right, Eddie. Well, I want to thank you for coming on Tech News today and explaining this story. It's very complex. It's happening very quickly. And if this happens, this will be a huge change for how internet and television is delivered in the United States. And so I thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, you can find Addie at TheVerge.com and also on Twitter at The, I'm going to spell this out, TheDexTriarchy. Thanks again. Well, in a sec, we're going to have one more little tidbit from the information about Comcast. But first, I want to tell you about Squarespace. Squarespace is an awesome site for you to build an awesome website. And if you have a small business, Squarespace is the place to build your website for your business for a number of reasons. One of them is if you want to create a logo, they have something called the Logo Creator Tool. This is an astonishing technology because it enables you to just go in as a non-designer and use their tools to build a professional-looking logo for your business. You can then trademark that logo and use it for the rest of the life of your company and for your business. And this is a fantastic feature. If you're watching the video, you can see how good this looks. There's all these shapes. You can start, resize, change the colors, change the thickness. Just lots of really great tools for designing a beautiful logo for your business. It's also a great place to sell, a great way to sell anything that you want to sell, because all subscription plan levels offer e-commerce. That's right. You can take money and sell things on your Squarespace website very easily. Sounds expensive, but it starts at just $8 a month, and that includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. And Squarespace, very importantly, is mobile ready. The mobile world is on the rise, and so any website that doesn't display your site on a mobile device is not really current with what's happening in the world. Squarespace will make every website that you have, every web page that you build, look great on a mobile device, a smartphone, on a tablet, whatever it is. The site will be recreated on the fly for that size of screen. And Squarespace, of course, takes care of the hosting, so you don't have to. So start a free 2-week trial with no credit card required and start building your website. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code TNT to get 10% off and to show your support for Tech News Today. We thank Squarespace for their support of Tech News Today. And remember that a better web awaits, and it starts with your new Squarespace website. Well, Comcast, in addition to everything else that all the other businesses that they're involved with, may want to become a wireless carrier. An exclusive by Amir Afradi on the information site says that Comcast is considering a plan to offer smartphone voice and data service via Wi-Fi plus over cellular networks using bandwidth Comcast would lease from a major carrier. And this is really kind of an astonishing turn of events if, in fact, they did this. I think this timing is bad for them to be launching into a business like this. But it does remind me of what Google is doing with Google Fiber. There was another report by The Information about Google wanting to get into this business, too, in those towns where it's offering super high-speed internet connectivity. And that, again, would be something that where you could have a single plan and get all of your connectivity for your home and for your smartphone and for your tablet from one company. So that is an interesting turn of events. Well, watch out, William Shatner. It looks like Google wants to compete with Priceline and move into the hotel booking racket. Rolf Winkler is a reporter for The Journal, and he's with us to tell us about this story. Welcome, Rolf. Can you hear me?
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. So what is the evidence for Google moving to the hotel listings business? What's going on?
Well, keep in mind, the first thing to keep in mind is how much money is at stake in this business. Two advertisers in particular, Priceline and Expedia, will spend in 2014 probably on the order of $2.5, maybe $3 billion on Google advertising, according to an analyst I spoke to. Now, to put that in perspective, Google in total, that's about 5% of what Google is going to have in advertising revenue this year. That's just two advertisers. Now, remember, Google has over a million total advertising customers. So these two in particular are very important. And we should note that the main thing they're spending their advertising dollars on is to get people to book hotel rooms, not to book a flight primarily, but to get hotel rooms, because that's where they make the vast majority of their profits.
So wouldn't Google be competing against their own advertising customers? I mean, that's kind of a risky move, don't you think?
In some ways, yes, but in some ways, no. There's a lot of nuance to this story. We should be clear. What Google's really doing right now is a number of things. One, it's remaking its search results to include a lot more information, virtual walkthroughs of hotels you might stay at, reviews of those hotels, and most importantly, room rates and availability. So there's a new tool. Well, it's not a new tool, but they're emphasizing it more. It's called Hotel Finder, where you plug in your check-in and check-out dates, and it gives you options to book. And it can send you, at that point, to Priceline's Bookings.com or to Expedia's Hotels.com. But it can also send you directly to the hotel's website itself. And really, the goal for Google in all of this is it just wants you to plan more of your trip while staying on its site for a lot of reasons. One is because that makes its advertising more valuable, potentially.
Now, I imagine that Google has got an advantage in that they can partner with lots of companies. Who are they partnering with on this?
Oh, a lot of people. I mean, one of the big challenges for Google is trying to establish those relationships directly with hotels, particularly boutique hotels in places like Europe, where it's a very fragmented market. You don't have these big hotel groups. You have a lot of, you know, pensiones everywhere in the French Riviera or wherever. And so Google has to work with technology partners, companies like DerbySoft, like GuestCentric, like Sabre Hospitality Solutions, like SiteMinder. These are all technology partners that can help establish, in effect, direct relationships, getting hotels to upload their room rates and availability information directly to Google and to bid on crucially, what Google calls hotel price ads, which are these ads that you have on there that show a price for a hotel you can book, and people bid on, just like Google's traditional advertising.
Now, do you think there's a anti-competitive problem for Google in all this? I mean, here, if they really get into this business and are competing with the other companies that provide these hotel booking services, and then, of course, people go searching for hotels on the search engines, and then, you know, maybe Google's will favor their own. And, you know, this could be a kind of a mucky situation. Do you think this is different from other areas where Google has sort of gone into businesses that they used to not be into?
Well, Mike, you're asking the crucial question when it comes to Google, which is what is Google today? Once upon a time, Larry Page would talk about how Google was about linking out to other sites. In the mobile age, when you got a smartphone with limited bandwidth, small screen size, you don't want to be hopping back and forth between Google's 10 blue links and lots of other websites which may not be optimized for mobile. Really, what Google's trying to do across lots of verticals, it isn't just hotel bookings, they're trying to provide answers for you directly on Google Pages. So you stay within their ecosystem, and you're not wrong. There's a lot of Google rivals who have complained to regulators saying, and by the way, Expedia and TripAdvisor are part of FairSearch.org. So even as they're huge advertising customers of Google, they have been complaining through this body to regulators saying, hey, Google is getting too aggressive in terms of trying to promote its own services. So there is a lot. It's very fraught, this area.
Well, you use the F word. What is Fair Search? Can you tell us more about this organization? Because this is a really interesting thing that Google has to deal with.
Fair Search is a collection of companies that I don't have the list in front of me right now, but
spearheaded by Microsoft, right?
Yeah, they're involved. Expedia, TripAdvisor, like I mentioned, lots of European comparison shopping sites are involved as well. And the nut of their complaint is that once upon a time, Google was all about linking out to their services. And now Google is all about keeping you on its own sites. And does that, in effect, disintermediate them? Now, Google would make the point, and it's not an unfair one, that is it really their job to promote other companies that themselves are just trying to get in between you and the transaction you might want to complete online? You know, is there something, do you need a comparison shopping site on the other side? Or if Google can provide that service and eliminate the middleman, does that potentially help its users? I think some users would say, yes, it eliminates a step. But the rivals make a good point that they do get cut out of the process.
I think it's interesting that just as Google has sort of spilled over the container that it once used to keep itself in and has expanded into all these other areas, so is Fair Search. Essentially, this organization appears to oppose everything Google does, no matter whether it's related to search or not. It just seems to be a collection of companies that compete against Google that want to oppose Google in any way they can. At least that's my perspective. Rolf, I want to thank you for coming on Tech News Today. This is a really interesting story, and we'll be watching it very carefully here.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, you can find Rolf, of course, on the Wall Street Journal site at WSJ.com and also on Twitter at Rolf Winkler. Rolf is spelled with a D at the end. All right, well, the U.S. Air Force is testing Google Glass for use in war. And joining us to explain this is Richard Byrne Riley, a staff writer at VentureBeat, who got the scoop yesterday. Welcome, Richard.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. So what is the U.S. Air Force doing exactly, and what is this Batman research team that I read about in your piece?
The Batman is part of the 711th Human Performance Wing. It's the Air Force's preeminent research and development entity within the Air Force, and it's based at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. They have a budget of about $5 billion, and there's a lot of highly intelligent behavioral and technology scientists working there, civilians as well as full-time military personnel working on technology. With regards to the Google Glass, I was told that they obtained it like everybody else in the Google Glass Explorer program. They went onto the website, the Google website. They put in their application. It was accepted. And they took possession of two pairs of glasses last year, and they've been busy workshopping their own versions of software to enhance and upgrade the existing platform. So it's really exciting.
Now, Richard, your mic is rubbing a little bit against your suit, and if you can just pull that away for a second. What would they use this for? I mean, this doesn't seem, you know, Google Glass seems a little on the fragile side for what somebody might imagine it's used to be. What do you think they'll end up using it for? I mean, this probably involves some sort of air controller functionality, but what will they use it for?
Well, I mean, they are endeavoring this technology, Google Glass, for a number of missions. That would be forward air controllers. Those are the guys and girls on the ground vectoring aircraft to their targets in, say, bombing operations. Also, search and rescue. And there's another component that it could possibly, depending on how the development goes, the enhancements to the existing platform, be used as a heads-up display, which the Android already powers in the standard Google Glass format. So there's a myriad and endless, you know, kind of uses for the glass with regards to just the Air Force. So it's interesting.
Okay, and I imagine that the biggest downside would probably be the battery. I'm sure they can work out almost every other aspect of it, but that a weak battery life is probably going to be a problem for them. Richard, I want to thank you for coming on and telling us about your exclusive.
No worries. Good to be here. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks again. You can find Richard at VentureBeat.com and also on Twitter at RBYME Riley. Thanks again. Well, Natalie has joined us. Welcome to the show, Natalie, our guest co-anchor.
Hello. I'm sorry I missed a chance to talk about that Google Glass story. I wanted to call it sexist.
Okay.
And why? Darn it.
And why is that?
Oh, you know, Batman isn't the acronym for man activated something.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly right. It's battlefield
Come
air
on.
Targeting man aided knowledge.
Yeah.
Knowledge doesn't start with an N either. So.
Well, yes, you're right. They gave a disclaimer for the N in there, but they did not. I mean, what if a woman wants to use it?
Exactly.
Isolating.
I can't wait for the Catwoman project.
Yes.
That should be good. Well, you are in time for our story about Google's Chromecast, which may soon do more than play online videos. A Redditor posted his discovery this morning of a Chromecast code revealing the ability to show icons on screen that reflect the current local weather. In other words, you see little sunshine there. It means it's a nice day or whatever. He also found code for displaying personal photos on the device. And Natalie, so this looks like a really good idea, which is to use Chromecast for a lot more than just playing YouTube videos or whatever it is people are currently doing with this. And that is turn it into kind of a home screen where
right.
people can get contextual information. I imagine other things could be added to this, like stocks and, you know, the usual things that show up on the default screen of your smartphone, for example, when you buy it. Don't you think this whole platform, Chromecast as a platform, is a little odd given that we know that Google is now working furiously on Android TV?
It is, and also the fact that most native internet-enabled TVs do this already. So why reinvent that wheel?
Yeah, exactly. So, Natalie, you're at a TV studio in New York City, is that right?
I'm in CNBC headquarters, which is in Inglewood Cliffs. Do you want to see it?
Okay, yeah.
See, there's the studio down behind me.
Okay.
Hello.
Looks like a file cabinet, but I'll take your word for it.
I'm actually in one of the anchor's offices. They were nice enough to let me come in here. I'm going to raid their bookshelf later.
In my personal experience, anchors are always the nicest people.
Yes.
They're so generous.
Yeah, that's usually pretty true. I married one, in fact. They're
yes,
so nice.
That's how nice they are. Well, CNN is actually launching a show exclusively for Twitter. This is apparently part of an effort to deal with the fact that lots more people are watching shows online and streaming online. The show, which was revealed in exclusive by the Wall Street Journal, is called Your 15-Second Morning. And the idea, I guess, as far as I can tell, is that they'll do 15-second news videos, which they'll post on the web and then put links to them in Twitter, and then they'll be just cranking out these constant news updates that go to very short video. Kind of an interesting idea. Does that sound like something that could catch on, Natalie?
I guess, but I mean, isn't it just faster? If you're using Twitter as the medium, isn't it just faster to read the tweet than actually have to watch a supplementary video, which you're not going to learn much more than 15 seconds about? Because Twitter is supposed to pique your interest and you say, oh, I want to know more about that. So if I click a link, I think usually I'm expecting more than 15 seconds of context.
This reminds me of the huge mistake that network television seems to make when they find themselves competing with the anything on the internet. Their perception is that the information is popular on the internet because it's trivialized. And
right.
So they trivialize their own content, but that's not why internet content is popular. I mean, of course, there's tons of trivial content online, but that's not really, you know, you go to a CNN, which is a company that presumably has significant budgets, lots of reporting, the ability to have global anchors and stuff. You go to them for substance, not frivolity.
Exactly right. Yeah. And I know that when Headline News has been very vocal lately that they want to remake themselves in the sort of the framing of it as your Facebook news feed or your Twitter news feed, like we're just going to bring you this news quickly. But Headline News is suffering in terms of viewership because people want more contextual news if they're actually going to turn their attention to the television. So, you know, the success of one medium doesn't necessarily relate to another. They can sort of coexist well, but I don't think emulating the other is a good idea. I mean, here at Twit, you know, we are a news service, but we put a lot of sort of personality into the news, and we can do things that the news networks cannot. And so I think appreciating the differences rather than emulating them is the better way to go.
And more to the point, we have a lot more we have much more substantive programming than you're going to find on network television, which tends to dumb itself down. And so, you know, that right. The idea that the internet has trivialized content and the, you know, the mainstream media has substantive content is, in fact, pretty much the opposite is true for the most part for the best content. So we'll be watching that. Of course, this is one of the first projects by CNN Digital Studios, which is a new initiative. And they're going to be coming out with other web-related series around celebrity stuff and sports. They're even coming out with an extension to Crossfire called Crossfire Reloaded. Love that violent war-mongering language. That should drive viewership because we know.
But we want peace.
That's right.
Just so you know.
That's right. They want a piece of the streaming content business, what they want. Well, the Wi-Fi.
Well, everyone does that.
That's right. The Wi-Fi Alliance announced today something called Tap to Connect. The idea is that you have a Wi-Fi router and that supports NFC, and then you just simply tap a device to the router, and it will connect through that router's Wi-Fi connection. And this is seen as something that's great for non-phone devices like cameras, smart home gadgets, gaming peripherals, and so on. This is part of the Wi-Fi Protected Setup program, and it sounds like a really cool thing. And, of course, if you have an iPhone, you are locked out of this because iPhone does not support NFC. Doesn't it sound like a cool idea, Natalie?
Oh, yeah. Definitely does. Turns all our dumb appliances, like really great digital phones, into smart appliances. I like it. I mean, it sounds like it would be a really big beast to secure, but
yep.
I'm sure someone's thought of that.
That's right. There are already routers out there that support NFC, including from Broadcom, Marvel, MediaTek, and Qualcomm. So hopefully this is, it's one thing to have the technology and the specs. It's another thing to change user behavior. So hopefully that is something that will take place. Well, Land Rover is showing a concept that appears to let you see through the hood of your car. It's called the Transparent Bonnet Concept. Bonnet is English for hood. And it works like this. Cameras mounted on the grill capture video of the ground and then use the hood as a video projector screen to display that video. And the effect is to create the illusion that you can see directly through your hood. And this is for people who want to see what the dirt looks like or the pavement looks like in front of the car. They're claiming that, you know, since Land Rover is something for going off-road, it lets you navigate through rough terrain and so on. I think it's just a really cool video, although I think I would get bored and just want to change the channel.
Right. It looks like it could be a little distracting, although you want to hear an embarrassing story that will make me seem like a total airhead.
Definitely.
When I was in high school, there was this empty planter that I had parked in front of, and the parking lot was almost empty. So I thought instead of backing out, I could just pull forward, but I couldn't see the empty planter. So the first two wheels of my car dipped down into this planter, and the football team had to then lift my car out, which was so embarrassing. So if I had had this technology, I would have known. Don't drive forward over that planter in your very old Mazda 929.
I just think it indicates that you're lucky. You happen to have a football team nearby
right.
to lift your car. That's some good luck.
Those
so not everybody
only
has a
happen
football team
in high school.
Yeah,
right.
And goodness for football teams. And this is actually part of a larger trend of video being a standard part of automobiles. I believe that the use of rear camera video is going to be mandated in the United States for all new cars in a few years. So I think that cars are going to have video cameras all over anyway. So this is an interesting use. And this doesn't even seem to me to be all that high tech. It's basically a camera and then a projector, and that's pretty much it. And it apparently provides a useful function if they can sync it up and have it pointed in the right direction and so on.
So remember last time I was on a couple weeks ago, I talked about a Chromecast to the windshield. So
yes.
That you can see. So that technology, it's not a Chromecast, obviously, but is in the new Captain America movie, Winter Soldier. Nick Fury has it in his car where his phone information is all displayed on the windshield. So I'm onto something with that.
So there you have it. Tech News Today and Natalie Morris is influencing Hollywood. Clearly they did it because they saw it on this show.
Right. I should be an inventor. I just don't know how to make this stuff.
Or a Hollywood consultant or both.
Yeah.
All right, Natalie. Well, I want to thank you for coming on Tech News today, and thanks for tuning in. I know you're very busy, and it's great that you, instead of dashing home as I'm sure you want to, you tuned in to guest co-anchor the rest of the show.
Oh, I felt bad that I missed the front end of the show. I'm glad I got to participate in some form or fashion. Tomorrow, I will be here all day, all show.
You know, I'll
sit at my desk all day and wait for you.
You look awfully yellow on the screen. You look almost like a Simpsons character.
Yeah, I've been working on the color a little bit. I think it's
the lighting
in the room.
Is, yeah.
No, you know what it is, you guys? It's TV makeup. If you looked at me in person, I look like a drag queen.
I see. I doubt it. Well, thanks again. And we'll see you on the show again tomorrow, Natalie. So thank you so much.
Okay, see you tomorrow, everybody.
Thanks, Natalie.
All right. Well, there are lots of ways to subscribe to Tech News Today. You can subscribe by going to our website at twit.tv/TNT. You can join our Google Plus community and also circle our page by searching for Tech News Today on Google Plus. You can subscribe to our subreddit at technewstoday.reddit.com. And we want to hear from you, so please send us an email at tnt@twit.tv or leave us a voicemail by calling 260-TNT-SHOW or both. Also, don't miss our evening newscast, Tech News Tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific tonight and every weeknight. My name is Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.